Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought it was the perfect crime until the body was found. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're going to be talking about the case of Richard Allen, specifically the Reed technique. What is the Reed technique? This is a technique that has been the cornerstone of police interrogations since the 1950s. It was once hailed as an innovative way to secure confessions. It's a confrontational method where officers isolate suspects, confront them with alleged evidence, sometimes completely made up, and subtly promise leniency in exchange for cooperation. For decades, this method was the go-to tool for law enforcement. Not so much anymore. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, will be joining us to talk about this in just a few moments. Despite it being the go-to tool for law enforcement, mounting evidence has exposed the dark side of this approach. False confessions, often from vulnerable suspects, teenagers, those unfamiliar with their legal rights, cast a lot of doubt on the technique's reliability. High-profile exonerations with DNA and forensic evidence have overturned convictions built on coerced admissions. Just fact, yet it still is used. It's prompted many agencies to abandon it in favor of newer, less coercive strategies, such as the peace model. But no, not in Delphi. They like to stick to their roots, stick to what's been working for a long time, even though it really hasn't. Yet this technique persists. The Delphi case, it was deployed during interrogations with Richard Allen. Despite widespread criticism of its effectiveness, law enforcement still favored it, especially in this case, a high-stake investigation where the need for a confession can feel more urgent than the search for the truth. As the trial continues to unfold, the use of the Reed technique continues to bring many more questions to the case. Why was it used? What kind of training did these officers have in Delphi? And how did we get where we are? I think a lot of it goes back to this very specific technique. Joining me to discuss this in greater detail, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Why do you think we still use this technique? Why are police agencies still doing the same thing over and over? Is it lack of education and training? And it's just like, this is what we got. So this is what they do. Is it pride? I mean, why? I mean, if we know that it's inconsistent with modern psychological understanding and techniques for getting, reliable results, the UK and other places do not touch this because they know it doesn't produce accurate results, but we keep sticking with it here. You know, we think of ourselves as a fairly advanced, smart country that has, you know, our stuff together when it comes to this. We don't. Why are we still doing it? Why don't we have more departments that wise up and say, this is not the right way to do this?
Yeah, there's so many things we're backwards on. I think of the metric system, right? We're the only country
we're still
in the
doing
world.
That.
Feet and inches, you know? It's like everybody else is, what's wrong with the U.S.? And I think we often think of ourselves as a very advanced society. And in truth, we're not. We get these old-fashioned ideas and we stick with them.
We dig into bad ideas. We dig into what our parents did or what our grandparents did, then we want to be proud because we want to keep doing that without ever going, you know, people evolve, you know, generation to generation things, you know, you go, wasn't the greatest idea, you know, it's what the best idea was at their time, but we don't have to do it, but they do it with pride. And that's the scary part of it is the pride that gets connected with digging into dumb ideas.
Yeah, and there's so much that happens with law enforcement training in this country. Number one, it's not standardized. All the different law enforcement agencies have different training methods. And when it comes to all the police shootings, the unjustified police shootings that happen, we know it's because they don't have training. Many, many departments don't. Some do, but many don't have training in de-escalation techniques, mm-hmm. where you don't have to shoot everybody all the time. You know, there are other ways to calm people down. Sometimes it's necessary, but so often it's not. And again, there are other countries who do a much better job of training law enforcement.
Do you think that we're seeing Richard Allen here on this, not on the stand, but in the courtroom because they ran out of people? Because they just, I mean, when we learn about how he was arrested and how they got to him, I mean, he was lost in a stack of papers, probably rightfully so, because he didn't. It also just shows how incompetent the police work is there, where it's like, oh, we lost a stack of papers and he's your killer. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a reason he was lost in the stack of papers, because he didn't mm-hmm. really provide anything that was of mm-hmm. much use. And somehow yeah. you're going to go back and twist this. Is it just because they didn't have anybody and they needed something?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it could be. And investigators are prone to the same biases that everybody else is prone to. And for whatever reason, they ran out of other suspects. And you know, here we are at this point.
Delphi is going to want some answers here, especially if he is found not guilty, which I think is a very real possibility now. I didn't think it at first, but seeing how weak the prosecution's case is, like, maybe this will all be done and he can go home finally and have years and years and years and years of intensive therapy and
yeah.
post-traumatic stress and mm-hmm. sues the living shit out of Delphi and mm-hmm. owns the town. There'll be a big Richard Allen fest every year after he gets done with them. There'll be free popcorn and soda for the kids and balloons. All that being said, they're going to want these parents. They want an answer. If I were those parents, I'd be questioning if it was Richard Allen. I'd be like, yeah. I don't think you'd want to convict somebody just for the sake of putting a body in that role of being yeah. the killer. So they're going to want answers.
We really want to know.
Yeah.
We want to know if it wasn't Richard Allen, then who the hell is out there? You know? That did this.
After this, what do you think is going to happen? If he is set free, if they find him innocent, are they going to keep digging into this? I mean, we're talking bad police work, didn't get a lot of good evidence when they had a chance to that might have led to someone or something. It seems like it's just going to end up being cold again at the other side of this. Although you have, I mean, Ron Logan, he's dead. You got Keegan Klein, who was in jail. I would seriously question... the fact that he was never looked into that super seriously baffles me. He's obviously in jail for child pornography charges. He was also communicating with one of the girls, mm-hmm. planning on meeting with her the day of the murder. And his excuse is, I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. He's in jail for 40-some years on those child porn charges. I wasn't there. If he wasn't there... I would question, who have you been in communication with? Who else did you tell mm-hmm. you're going to meet with these girls? Mm-hmm. Well, they're predator friends of yours. Have mm-hmm. you mentioned, hey, I'm not going out there, but hey, you say you're me, go meet her. Mm-hmm. You know, I would question all of that, but that all seems to just be sitting there. It seems like they have a lot of leads in front of them, but I do wonder if their pride is still going to make them not dig where they should, because mm-hmm. it will mean they were wrong. Not just, well, we lost this case and we think we were right, which I think mm-hmm. is kind of where they're going to stand. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to admit to themselves they were wrong to continue mm-hmm. looking into this. I just wonder if that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly possible. And it's really sickening. It's really disturbing.
Yeah. We'll see where this all lands. The Delphi case still going on. Richard Allen's defense going to be mounting that. And hopefully we get a verdict here in the next couple of weeks. We'll keep watching it right here. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.